My name is Sarah Nelson, and I am 36 years old. I am from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm going to tell you about my testimony of how I came to know Jesus and a little bit about how he kind of brought me back to him later on in life and where I'm at now. So I came to know Jesus when I was 13. My parents actually had gotten a divorce, and we moved from our hometown up to kind of near Tulsa, and we moved in with my aunt and started going to church with them at a Baptist church. And I always, you know, knew about Jesus. Honestly, there was a bunch of church hurt that happened to me as a child. But I know that's not what this is about. However, that kind of pushed me away a little bit from church and Jesus, and I was just really hurt by it. It had to deal with my parents' divorce and church, and there was just a lot of stuff there. Anyway, so that's not really what my testimony is about. But anyway, I've always known since I was a little kid about Jesus, and I was 13 when I gave my life to Jesus. I knew that I needed him as a savior. I knew that I was a sinner and that, you know, without him, my life would be basically meaningless in a way. You know, I would go to hell without him. So I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't fully know what that meant, I don't think. And, you know, when you're 13, I loved him. I loved Jesus. But as life went on, I turned to things of the world, such as drinking, partying, alcohol whenever I went to college. So my 20s were spent partying, and there was always, you know, Jesus just like in the back of my mind, and I did feel extremely guilty for the way that I was living, and I was praying a lot for forgiveness. So in my 20s, I got pregnant with my son. He's 9 years old now. I love him so much, but the relationship was really horrible and volatile, and I wasn't going to church at this time. I wasn't really living like a Christian should live at all, and not like a Christian should, because you can't really define that, but you wouldn't have known from knowing me, besides me being a nice person, that I was a follower of Christ, because I just wasn't living that way at all. I was just not. And, so I ended up pregnant at 26, and we had our son, and he was amazing. He's just an amazing gift from God, to be honest. And I don't feel like I was connected to God at this point in my life. I feel like I had completely just, you know, he was in the background, and it really hurts my heart to even talk about this. It's very hard and difficult because as a Christian, you don't really ever want to go back and like look at this stuff, but it's amazing how Jesus works in people's lives and can use people's lives to hopefully minister to others to understand that you aren't going to be perfect. You aren't going to be perfectly sinless. You need Jesus, and I'm so thankful for him. So anyway, yeah, I had Atticus when I was 26 and tried to make it work with his dad. Actually ended up finding out that his dad was doing drugs and got away from that relationship, praise the Lord. So I just knew that I was going to raise Atticus on my own, and was becoming okay with that. I had graduated nursing school and I was working full-time, and my mom was helping me with Addie. I call him Addie. So that was a blessing. We lived in the same apartment complex, my mom and I. And I had just kind of closed off dating or, you know, getting in a relationship because I didn't want what happened to me to happen again, and I wasn't seeking the Lord. I knew that I was in a bad spot. So I met my husband through my sister and my husband's sister. They actually worked together at a hospital and tried to set up a date. They did set up a date. I'm actually filming in my Honda. I don't know if I said that. This is like the only quiet spot that I could get random. Anyway, so he set up a date and I did not want to go on this date. I was like, I'm done with men. I'm going to be single. I don't want to date anyone. I had been hurt and I had dated around before. I had met him once once me and my son's dad split up. I had dated a little bit and just realized that it's not for me, honey. It's not for me. So I reluctantly went on this date with my husband, and as soon as I met him, I just knew that he was the one. And we had a really good night. That night we had a good date, and we were pretty much inseparable from that time. We ended up getting married 6 months later, and after we had got married, we waited a few months, but we conceived Daniel not long after we had gotten married. So our second son is Daniel, which, let me just go ahead and say, my husband actually ended up adopting my first son, Atticus. So he is actually legally his. So I say, when, you know, our sons, my husband is Atticus's dad now legally, and just in general, he's like the only dad that he's ever known. But anyway, so yeah, we got pregnant with Daniel and we found out that he was a boy, and we were like, what are we going to name this boy? You know? And I was sitting in the bathtub one night and I came out of the bathroom and I was like, his name's Daniel for sure. And he's like, Daniel, really? And I'm like, yeah, his name's Daniel. Had no idea. I just knew that that was supposed to be his name. So we actually went to a ultrasound. I'm sure you know about these, Angela, because you're pregnant with your wonderful little baby girl. And we had a 13-week ultrasound. I think it was around 13 weeks to check for Down syndrome. I guess there's something on the neck where they can check to see if it has like markers for Down syndrome. So we went into that appointment just really happy and excited. We had already done a little blood test before that had told us that it was a boy, so we knew, and that was just kind of confirm that it was a boy. We were hoping they would be able to tell us that day. And so we go in and we're getting the ultrasound. The tech's, you know, really nice and cool. We were just so happy to see our baby bouncing around on the screen. It was such a miracle. I want to go back just a little bit. This is so out of order, but at this time we were attending a mega church in the Tulsa area. And honestly, my husband, he is a Christian, and I was so thankful. I wanted to, before I dive into this, I wanted to let you guys know that my husband is a Christian and a believer, and I never thought that I would find somebody that, you know, shared the same saving belief in Jesus that I have. And so he did have that, and we started going to Life Church, which is a mega church here in the Tulsa area. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but anyway, you can do what you want. If you have to go back and edit that out, you can. But yeah, so we were attending the church and just kind of getting back into the Word and back into, you know, really structuring our life for Jesus. And it wasn't perfect by any means, but that's what we were doing anyway when we got pregnant with Daniel. So yeah, we were at that appointment, and the doctor came in after the tech had finished, and, you know, she was super sweet. She can't say anything, you know, the radiology techs can't tell you what's going on, so we just thought everything was okay. But when the doctor came in, he told us that Daniel looked great, everything looked good, except there was one area of concern, and it was on his bottom, and they thought that it was a sacrococcygeal teratoma, which is a sort of tumor that grows on the buttocks area. And so I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. I was immediately like taken aback and just crushed, thinking, what is he saying? Like, what does this mean for this baby? Is he going to be okay? So I asked him, like, is he going to live? Like, is this, what's happening? Does he have cancer? You know, I just didn't know. And my husband was just kind of floored at the same time. He was silent over there and I was shaking. I couldn't believe it. And he said that the tumor will grow in size and it will likely be the same size as the baby, and he would need to be delivered early, possibly would need to have fetal surgery. So for everybody out there who doesn't know, babies can get surgery in the womb, so they are people. And that's a whole nother can of worms, but so yeah, he would possibly need fetal surgery, which would mean they would remove the tumor or parts of the tumor if they could while he was in my uterus, and then put him back in to finish growing if it got too big, because it could cause a condition called hydrops, which is where, you know, my blood supply would be supplying him, the baby, Daniel, and the tumor. So as that tumor grows, it's going to require more blood from Daniel's body, which could cause him to go into cardiac arrest, which in turn could cause what's called mirror syndrome. This is what the doctor was telling me. And that could cause me to go into cardiac arrest. So it was just a lot to try and digest at that point. Going to try my hardest not to get emotional. Just hearing that my baby was going to be born with this, and he would need surgery either after he was born or during and after, also would mean that he probably wouldn't be able to control his bowels or bladder, and, you know, would maybe need like an ostomy, things like that, and possibly oncology up until he was like a teenager, is what he said. There were just all kinds of scenarios that could happen, and he was trying to just kind of touch on everything without going into too much detail because, you know, it was so soon. But then he showed us the video of where they could see the tumor, and it was quite evident. My husband and I are both nurses, and you could definitely see the white thickening area on Daniel's bottom of where that tumor was. So I have attached that video and some videos of his tumor before. So yeah, going back into this, we immediately knew that we had to get serious and pray for Daniel. We had family praying, the church was praying, just for his healing. And I didn't know what to do. I was very depressed. I went into a state of depression where I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't take care of my son, Addie. And so, sorry. I went to my mom's. I went to my mom's for like a week and a half, 2 weeks, and I called that perinatal center. The perinatal center is where we got Daniel's diagnosis or potential diagnosis. I cried a lot, and I prayed a lot, and I read my Bible a lot. I was in the book of Habakkuk a lot because I was feeling very hopeless, and I was led to read the book of Habakkuk. I was wrestling with God. Habakkuk wrestles with God, and it's just, that's where I was at, was very low. And I was just, you know, kind of at a loss. I was grieving a healthy pregnancy. I was grieving my son. I was grieving my son's health, and I was being very selfish. I was not thinking about God's will for my baby. I wasn't thinking about God's will for my life. So I just began to pray for direction and for guidance, and that didn't stop immediately. I called the perinatal center like every day, and I asked them for a repeat scan just to see. And finally I asked the girl, it's like, how certain are you? And she said, Miss Nelson, we've got the video, and the doctor is 99% sure that your baby has this. You've got to relax and wait. So I had to wait. We had the next ultrasound scheduled in December, so it was actually the day after Christmas, and it was the longest wait of my life, and it really truly wasn't that long. But anyway, fast forward a little bit through that week, I decided through God's guidance that I needed to surrender to his will, and it was very difficult for me to do. I was crying, like the most gut-wrenching cries that you can imagine, from the bottom of your soul for your baby. I was praying for him to be spared of this tumor
But I knew I had to surrender, so I told God, I said, I know that you have a plan for this baby. I know you have a plan for Daniel's life. And whatever plan you have for him is the right plan. And if it's to have the tumor, that's the plan we're going to go with. And if it's for you to miraculously heal him, that's the plan we're going to go with. But I don't know what that plan is right now. And I'm going to give my mental health to you. I'm going to give everything to you, Lord. And so I did. And I wound up in the book of Ruth. And I still to this day, I don't know why the book of Ruth is what I was going through there, but it was. And I think it's a very redemptive story. And you can't really see God in it, but he's all over the book of Ruth. And I feel like that's kind of what happened there. So I was able to like get my bearings about me. I'm sorry, emotional. And I found a really good hospital. It was in Philadelphia, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And we're actually in Oklahoma. So I called them and was able to get Daniel's documents sent up there. And they called me back and scheduled his fetal MRI. I'm so sorry. Which is, you know, where they would do an MRI of his little body and decide what needed to be done at that point and see how big the tumor was. So we had that scheduled for January, and our next ultrasound was going to be the day after Christmas. So we were ready to do that, ready to pack up and go. My husband was going to stay here with Atticus, and I was just going to go up there and, you know, take care of what needed to be taken care of with Daniel. Completely surrendered. I felt like after that night that I had surrendered everything and just still continually praying, everybody was continually praying, that the depression actually lifted off of me and I had hope and peace. There was actual peace in my soul, even though my baby had this tumor and there were so many unknowns. So we anxiously awaited the day after Christmas, and my husband and I went, and I was on that ultrasound table. I will never forget the amount of shaking that I was doing, and this ultrasound took, oh my goodness, I think it took close to 3 hours. I was like, oh gosh, this is not good. Like, the tumor is probably huge by this point, and she's taking so many pictures. And the doctor comes in afterwards, and he says he's gone over all the imaging, and he is pleased to tell us that there is no evidence of a sacral mass, and there's no tumor. Glory to God. So yes, my husband and I immediately were just like taken aback, and I grabbed the doctor's hand and I was like, Jesus, he healed my baby. He healed him in the womb. I know he did. And we were just praising the Lord right there, my husband and I, and took that news and went and told the church and all of our family that day that Daniel was given a miracle from God. And I know that he's going to do so many great things. And Daniel was born in May, and he was born healthy with no tumor. He is wonderful. I have attached a picture of him here that I hope that you guys will show of his beautiful smile. And he's just full of life, and he is truly amazing. But the story of Daniel really goes further, and through him, I actually was able to depend on the Lord when I was at my lowest point in my life. And through all the things that had happened to me as a child and college, and just the lowest points that I'd ever felt when I was pregnant with Daniel was the lowest. And I gave over everything to the Lord that day. And I trusted him, truly trusted him with everything. And we actually were able to grow in our faith, and I was able from 2019 to now, I'm a totally different person. I have grown so much in my faith. We actually left the mega church because of just some things that didn't sit right with us. We knew that we needed more and we needed guidance. So we went through a couple of different churches, and we finally found a really good church that we love. And I'm actually understanding and reading my Bible, and I'm consulting the Lord about how to understand his word and to just be truly open to his word and his provision in my life. So I don't think that I would have been able to
to get to that point without Daniel's story, and I don't think that I would be the person that I am today without my son's tumor. It was a very devastating point, but that is just to show how the work of Jesus is always good, no matter how bad it was. Even if he wouldn't have been delivered from his tumor, it gave me so much perspective on how to lean into Jesus and know that his will is right and good. So I just want to encourage everybody, you know, if you're going through something, lean into those trials that the Lord gives you, and know that his will is always perfect and good and right, and trust him. And I promise you, it may not seem like it then, but you're going to look back and realize what the Lord is doing. It may not be instantaneous, but I'm so thankful for all the trials that I've had in my life, and for Daniel, and for Jesus, and for him saving me and taking me out of my lukewarm state of being, and setting me truly on fire and taking me back to my first love, which is him. So yeah, that is my story, and I want everybody just to be encouraged, and I love you, Angela. I really do. I'm so happy for you guys, and I'm so happy that you guys have a little baby on the way, and I hope that this testimony blesses everybody that hears it. Bye.
Thank you so much for taking the time to watch this Testimony Tuesday video. I really pray that you were blessed by it. Give the video a thumbs up and subscribe to the Heaven and Healing podcast channel if you haven't already. We go live on this channel every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time. So set your notification bell and come back and see us really soon. And do consider partnering with the Heaven and Healing Ministry. There's a QR code up on the screen for you to become a monthly partner. Or if you just feel led to sow a one-time seed, there are different options to do so down below in the episode description. Heaven and Healing is entirely crowdfunded, only made possible through the generosity of the audience. So anything at all means so much to us. We thank you for your support and prayers. God bless. Jesus loves you.